All right, it's good to be here in the house of God on this Super Bowl Sunday morning, so to speak. John the Revelator, one of the disciples of Jesus, John, he said there in Revelation chapter number 1, he didn't say I was in the Super Bowl on the Lord's Day. He said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10.
Yes.
And even though you can't be in church, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. That didn't keep him from having church. Amen.
That's right.
Good to have Brother Ed here this morning. We've been fellowshipping. We wasn't paying no attention to the time. And it's Sunday school time. We want to be a good stewards of God's time.
Amen.
Want to go ahead and get started. I had last week commented... Extensively, maybe overkill, I don't know, about St. John chapter 9, verse 39, which Jesus had said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And I want to go ahead and finish out this chapter reading right now. And some of the Pharisees, you can always count on the Pharisees. You can always count on the people that murmur and argue and strain at gnats and swallow camels. I mean, they just will never let it go.
Right.
But some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words that Jesus just spake right there and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Now they asked him a question. The Bible says to be ready always to give a man an asked of you a question. Peter said, "Oh, the reason of hope is within you." So Jesus is going to answer their question. In verse 41, Jesus says, he said unto them, "If ye were blind..." Me and Brother Ed were just talking about young people going to heaven and how that age of accountability. Some people said, "Well, what age is it?" I'll tell you exactly what age it is. It's the age you know when you're doing wrong.
Right.
And you know, there was a day I knew I was doing wrong, and I went ahead and did it. And when I done it, I have to admit I had condemnation in my heart for what I did. I had guilt about what I done.
Yeah.
But Jesus here addressing their question, he said, "If you were blind, you'd have no sin." You see, little babies, they don't know sin. Little children, they're as innocent as the driven snow.
Right.
They don't know sin. And you know, Pilate, you know, in his pious attitude, what's truth? I mean, they want to try to deny what they know is true and somehow twist words and frame words. I get so sick of politicians nowadays. They'll pick one word and just strain it to death.
Yeah.
Try to take a word, you know, and make an exit out of the situation. And, you know, you got to kind of watch these people that do that. I think there is some scripture about that. Let me see real quick. It's in my mind right now and it ain't real clear. But I believe it's in 2 Timothy here. I'm pretty sure it talks about in the last days there'll be a bunch of men like that. Yeah, here it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, talks about men like this, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Right. Now I tell you what, that's a strong rebuke.
Sure.
You get on down there a little bit further, verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving," that's one point, "and being deceived" is a second point. I tell you what, buddy, you need to get out of that bunch right there. But Jesus here, as he's answering these Pharisees, he just tells them point blank. He said, "If you're blind, you'd be better off. But now ye say, we see." They saw him. They saw him as they wanted to see him. They didn't see him as he was. They saw him as a carpenter's son.
Yeah.
They didn't see Him as God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh. You know this day, this God-denying, ungodly generation we're living in, instead of having A.D., B.C., they call it before the mistake, or they call it the error. I mean, they just don't want to admit the fact that God came down, walked on this sin-cursed earth to give His life a ransom, so that they could escape the damnation of hell, and they'll go anyway but His way. Oh my.
Right.
Well, listen this morning. Well, I do want to finish this chapter out. But Jesus is pretty blunt right here as He answers these Pharisees because they're spiritually blind.
Yep.
He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now I understand Jesus says, for judgment, I've come into this world. You see, this world is, they're easily offended. You've got to kind of choose your words carefully. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. And you got to understand all of the, I don't know, the walls, the traps, all of the vain jaggling, the gainsaying, all of that. I've had a lot of conversation with a lot of lost people. And I guess I've heard it all. But I will say this. I have studied the Word of God enough. And I pray I'm not saying this boastfully. But I have studied the Word of God enough to answer them according to their folly. And to put it where they have to leave speechless and say, we'll talk again on another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When you're on that kind of foundation. And I remember when I first started soul winning, I didn't even really, for lack of better words, I wasn't really rock solid myself. And they rocked my boat more than I rocked their boat. And there was a few of them threw a few curveballs at me, and I had to deal with that first. But after I got good, rooted, settled, grounded in the Word of God,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, bring it. Bring it on. I'm not a novice no more. I'm not a babe in Christ no more. I'll tell you right now, buddy, I'll sit there toe-to-toe with anybody that has any kind of a controversy about the Bible or Jesus or anything like that. Buddy, I'm not at a disadvantage. As a matter of fact, I've got the advantage over the adversary. But Jesus says, for judgment, I'm coming to this world. If He hadn't have came down, well, there's a bunch that would have said, well, if God loved us, He'd have come down. Well, He did. He came down in love. He showed this world a kind of love that they'd never known. I mean, I have to admit, we're kind of the bunch. I love you if you love me. He loved those that hated Him.
Right.
He prayed that they'd be forgiven. I tell you what, He gave His life for them. A greater love the world had never seen than the love that came down from heaven. He came down.
Yes.
But you know what? My parents loved me enough, Brother Ed. They busted my behind when I needed it.
That's right.
It took me a long time to mature enough to realize that they loved me while they done it. You know, I'll be 65 this month right here. And honest to God, today I can truly say I love my parents more for busting my behind than for anything they done for me in my life.
Yes.
I didn't appreciate it at the time because I didn't understand it at the time. But I'll tell you what, looking back on it, I'm so glad I had parents that loved me enough to say no every now and then. I'm so glad I had parents that loved me enough to say you ain't going, to say you're not, you're going to go in there and clean your room.
Yeah.
You're going to take the trash out. You're going to clean the bathroom. You're going to help me clean the kitchen. I'm glad I had parents like that.
Amen.
They call it tough love. Well, He come down in love. He said, let me see if I can find this scripture. This came to my mind as I was driving over here this morning. And I was wishing I brought that Franklin Concordance with me because my little pea brain can't handle the depth and breadth of this word. But let me see if I can find this real quick here. Let's see here. Let's try Luke 17, verse 1. Thank God for a good old Schofield Bible
yeah.
That's got a concordance in the back of it. Here's another reason Jesus came. He said, it's impossible. Well, let me read it all. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It'd be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, cast into the sea. Jesus offended a lot of people.
Yes.
I mean, they were offended at some of the things he did. They were offended at some of the things he said. And believe it or not, he is offended at some of them. He said, thou art an offense to me.
Yeah.
Talking to Peter when he said he wasn't going to let him go to the cross. But let's see here. Let's see. What is it? Matthew 18:17. Let's see what that right there says here. You see, if Jesus hadn't came down, we could measure ourselves by ourselves.
Yeah.
We could say, well, I'm just as good as him. And we could use that to some degree, you know, for an excuse. But let's see here. Luke 18:14. Well, that ain't really. The one I was looking for offenses, he came into this world. He came into this world. He didn't really ask for permission to do it. But this world was made by him. He's the God that made it all. Now, I get to listen to a lot of the complaints of people. And the way they put it, you know, they think they got their righteous indignation. They think, you know, like Frank Sinatra, it ought to be their way instead of God's way. And, you know, they think, you know, they've got some ground to stand on. God made the ground. I said, take a good deep breath. I said, God just gave you that breath. And he didn't even thank him for it. I said, how about the gravity? I said, you ain't floating away and you ain't stuck to the ground. You got just enough gravity that you can walk or run, that your car can stop and not just keep on going. I said, you got a sun up there to have daylight in the daytime. You don't even pay a light bill for it. I said, you're charging God foolishly for your own ignorance and nonsense. I said, you take so much for granted. I'm telling you, head's thicker than granted. This world, they just can't understand. We got a lot to do with God. When you stop and think about that in Him we live and move and have our being, you realize you ain't going to make it too far without God. Well, Jesus came into this world for judgment. He came in this world so the world could see they had come short of the glory of God.
Yes.
He came down, He obtained favor with man, with God. He done those things that's right. He showed it could be done. I mean, against all the contradiction of sinners against Himself, He obtained the praise of God. God said more than once, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
I want that to be said about me.
Yes.
But you see, the only way I can get that said about me is by having the righteousness of God's Son Jesus imputed to me, and then God can look down at Eddie Wayne and say, that's my son Eddie.
That's right.
In whom I'm well pleased. See, it pleased the Father that in Jesus all fullness would be. I'm complete in Him.
Yes.
I'm not trying to reach it. I'm not trying to jump up and get it. I've already got it. I tell you right now, He made me somebody, and I'm somebody going somewhere, and I got somewhere to go because of somebody named Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, there's just so much in this. I hate to just kind of scratch the surface of it. That's all I'm doing. But buddy, judgment. This world is ready for judgment. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23. And this is the most rebellious generation I've ever seen in my life. They went to great lengths. I mean, Jesus said the people of Sodom and Gomorrah would rise up and condemn this generation. He said because they repented. No, as a Nineveh, people of Nineveh, he said, would rise up against this generation and condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yeah.
And he said, a greater than Jonah is here. but also the man of Sodom and Gomorrah will also rise up. Somebody said Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have a Bible. I'd like to correct that. The Bible said that righteous man. That's what God said about Lot.
Yeah.
That righteous man Lot dwelling among them. Vexed his righteous soul from day by day with their ungodliness, and neither was he a partaker thereof. They did have a Bible. They had Lot. Lot wasn't Abraham. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't a Sodom and Gomorrah neither. He might have been there. And you know one thing about it, I've many times thought about this. I'd like to be somewhere, you know, where there's no trouble. But you know what trouble needs? Needs someone like Lot. Someone like Abraham. Someone like a good saved Christian man like Eddie. Somebody there to let a little light shine in that darkness. I know we like to pick our place. You know, the Bible talked about Ruth as her hat was. She just happened to light upon her kinsman redeemer. What was his name? Boaz. She just happened to light upon Boaz's field. You know, that's kind of what we want. We want to be somewhere where there's no trouble. We want to be somewhere where we can just take it easy and be at ease in Zion. And we don't need to be at ease in Zion. We need to be working in Zion. Amen. We need to be out compelling people. Right. Come to the house of God. Come and hear the good news. Come and find out me bread and feast on the fire. This is a Sunday school lesson. I got to back off. I get so full of people. They just complain about the least trouble.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes we're in the belly of a whale for a reason.
That's right.
That old whale got a little nose in. He vomited Jonah.
That's right. Hey.
Sometimes that's what I want. I want to be a little nose in. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I don't want him to enjoy me being in that belly of that whale. Somebody, and I guess I could echo what they said. They said that whale wasn't nothing but a limousine sent from God to get Jonah to Nineveh so he could do the work God had called him to do. Jonah might not have been interested in Nineveh, but God was.
Amen.
Jonah might not have been wanting to take the word of God to Nineveh, but God wanted him to. And the Bible said after that whale vomited Jonah out on dry ground, the word of God came to Jonah the second time.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. But Jesus came down.
Yeah, he did.
Now you stop thinking about this a minute, Brother Ed. He stepped down from the throne that's above every throne.
Yeah.
He laid aside royal garments. He come down to be born in a manger to wear swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, I'm telling you, he come down in the greatest form of humility that could be bestowed upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he didn't complain one single time.
Right.
And he said, for judgment I'm coming to this world.
Right.
Boy, this world ain't, you know, wasn't no room for him.
No.
In the end, they're going to make room for him, boy, when he comes back. He ain't coming back in swaddling clothes. He ain't coming back a baby. He's coming back a royal line of the tribe of Judah. Not only are they going to make room for him, they're going to look for a hiding place. I'm telling you, brother, they're going to dig holes. They're going to say, hide us from the one to come. His wrath, I'm telling you, buddy, he's going to shake this world. He said, for judgment I'm coming to this world.
Yeah.
Man, they make me sick. When you read about that great white throne in Revelation chapter 20, let me tell you something, buddy. He's right to sit upon this throne.
Yeah.
John says, I saw a great white throne. I saw him that sat on it. That's Jesus. You know what, buddy? Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with that just man. My pastor preached a message one time called Mission Impossible. He said he's either going to be your judge or your savior. There ain't no way to have nothing to do with Jesus.
That's right.
I'm glad he's my savior. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, he said, for judgment I've come to this world. I said, I'm guilty. He said, you've been pardoned. You're in peace. I'm telling you, glory. I'm glad I got the peace of God.
Yeah.
He done judged me guilty.
Yeah.
Had my case thrown out of court. Burned the records, amen.
Praise.
And one of the messages God stirred my heart about behind the blood. I'm glad, praise God, behind the blood. Nobody don't need to know what all I've done. They don't need to know where I've been. No. Hey, I'm behind the blood. Amen. I'm telling you, it's been fun. As far as the east is from the west, amen. Yes. It's behind the blood, Lord.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a Sunday school lesson I've seen such a like. Man, I got up late this morning, but God wasn't ladies there waiting on me. Listen, he's sitting on this great white throne now. It ain't the lamb no more. It ain't the carpenter's son no more.
That's right.
There's no mistake about it no more. John said, I saw him. He's sitting on a great white throne. He said, for whose face? See, he's greater than all. The earth and the heaven fled away. You know why they fled away? Ain't no hiding place.
Right.
He said, there's find no place for me. There ain't no place to hide no more. All this hiding bunch. Man, I get kind of my feel a little bit. They try to act a little spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
They try to, you know, put a verse in there. Now, real quick, you see the Bible said in the book of Romans, talking about a preacher, and if a man is a preacher, he bears not the sword in vain. He knows how to handle it. His sword's sharp. It ain't a butter knife. But I'll tell you what, when I get the sword out, it's head ducking time. I tell you, I'll take a head off them Muslims in a heartbeat. But you know, they'll try to throw a little scripture out there, you know, and try to make it fit where it don't fit. See, the Word of God, it fit the joins together.
Yeah.
Back years ago, me and my parents, one of the things we did back before TV and radio and all that bunch of junk took place, we'd work a puzzle during the wintertime.
Right.
We'd get one of the hardest ones there was, where every piece was almost the same color. We'd throw it up there on the table and we'd walk by. And man, every now and then somebody'd find a piece that fit. You know, we'd dance around a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But it took forever to work it. Well, the Word of God's like that. It's fitly joined together. You can't force a piece in where it don't go.
That's right.
But there was found no place for them. This is coming. That's why he came to this world. Because see, there's going to be a day where there's going to be judgment. This is that judgment. John hears, he's looking up on this scene. John says, I saw the dead. See, people say, I'm just going to take my life. It ain't done.
Uh-uh.
No. It's appointed unto man once to die.
Right.
And after that, the judgment, death don't end a thing. It just makes you worse. I'm telling you, be better off. Say, hey, I'm guilty. I want mercy. I want to be pardoned. I want to be saved. Amen.
Yes.
Sharon, it's supposed to be a Sunday school lesson. I don't know how in the world they got out of the banks this bad. You come
preach
in and preach
it all.
We've been trying to behave ourselves, and I can't help it. Jesus talking about for judgment, I've come this world. John says, I saw the dead. Here they are. I mean, the old Osama bin Ladens, the Saddam Husseins, the Hitlers, the Stalins, all that infidel, all of those rich, high, and mighty, nothings are now standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They got no covering. They got no excuse. They got no garment. They say, hey, Lord, I'm somebody. They're standing there naked.
Yeah, that's right.
Before him. It's a sad commentary. Said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's where they're standing. And the books is up. You know God keeps good records.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
This is important here. See, Brother Ed, they open up my book, these are blank pages. It's been blotted out.
Yeah.
But they open up these people's books,
Jesus.
Hear all these things, they're hoping nobody ever found out about.
Yeah.
Now, buddy, there they are, and they're saying, oh, no! Oh, you just want to bring that out. That's why I want my own blood. You know what I mean? I want this stuff. I don't want to put it on the screen. You know, they catch these people now and they show it on TV and everybody, he said, I'm stepping down. I'm sorry. You know, that was that one guy, that Hollywood guy, he so much of them actors, he abused them. Harvey, whatever his name is, you know. They just, I mean, cut his legs up underneath him. And, well, that's what these books are all about. See, those things that's been secret are now being made known. These books are being opened, and all this stuff now, it ain't hidden no more. Skeletons coming out of the closet. I'm talking about now, buddy. All them lies are being told. These books are being opened now. And there's another book that's open, which is the book of life.
Yes.
Man, they're just hoping somehow or another their name's there. Well, I'll tell you what, the reason they're in these circumstances is because the name ain't in there.
That's right.
I'm glad I ain't got to go before this throne. No. I'm glad my name is in that other book. But just for sake of hope, I guess, this other book's open. This book of life. And the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And they're saying, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Lord, didn't in your name do many mighty works? In your name this, in your name that. And he says, I don't know you. Your name ain't in here. You ain't one of mine. Man, we're getting ready to teach out of John chapter 10 about the great shepherd. He knows his sheep.
Yeah.
He says, I don't see your name here. I'm sorry. Your name's not recorded in the book of life. You've come short. You got it coming, but I'm going to serve judgment, amen. Mm-hmm. It's sad to be here. The world's going to get a good dose of why he came to this world.
Yeah.
And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. Boy, they're pretty sad right now.
Yes.
I mean, all hope's gone. Paul giving an account of the great storm, Euarchadon. And he said all hope of being saved was then taken away. I mean reality now.
Yeah, that's right.
All of those excuses, all of those lies, you know, come someday. I'll surprise you someday. You never know, I might just show up. Well, that's gone now. Now, buddy, they're giving an account to God. He's giving them. And they're in the courtroom of God. He's sitting on the throne. He's the judge.
Right.
Here they are. Got their day in the court of God. Oh, by the way, the sea gave up the dead which ran in. Can you imagine that? Who could find those out there in the sea? Well, they've been found.
Yeah.
And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You mean to tell me it don't end in hell? No, it's just a good beginning. This lake of fire supersedes hell. But anyway, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And you know, they all get their opportunity. That bunch of hypocrites is why I didn't get saved. And God said, well, you know what? You could have got saved at home. Yeah. Many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
Your church might leave a bad... You know, have you ever heard somebody say, I was going to find a church where I didn't feel comfortable?
Yeah.
I thank God I found one I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I had something wrong. I was lost.
That's
I didn't get saved.
Amen.
I mean, he rocked my boat good.
Yeah.
I got mad. I thought my wife told him everything I've ever done. We get home, boy, she's had it. And then he rocked me some more, Shane. I thought, who's he think he is calling me a sinner? I was a sinner. I was somewhere I didn't feel comfortable. And when it's all said and done, I got saved. Amen.
Amen.
We don't need to be for a feel comfortable. We need to say, bring it, preacher. Hey, if you step on
right.
my toe, hit me in the two by four, do it. I want to be ready when he comes.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
They say go to the church of your choice. I'll tell you what you better do. You better go where they sing his song, preach his word, and his spirit's there, and you can tell it's real.
That's right.
Man, I don't want to go to a funeral home and I'll go to a church.
That's right.
I don't want to go to a skating rink where they got ice on the floor and icicles on the pulpit. God maketh his mercies afar.
That's right.
Man, I had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Man, he come down on me and I got a feeling of flames on my feet. I got to think, but I need to do something.
That's
I
right.
did. Hey,
amen. Amen.
Whew. It's a Sunday school lesson. Oh my. Jesus said for judgment I've come this world. He gave everybody a chance. He gave everybody the same chance.
Right.
He gave everybody the same opportunity. And there's some thought they had a better plan than God. There's some thought they'd do their way. Well, we'll see. This bunch right here they are now. And they're judged, every man, according to their works. You know what? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Titus 3:5. Mm-hmm. But according to his mercy, don't miss this, he saved us.
Amen.
Their works don't work.
Yeah.
So here they are. They've got their phylacteries. Hey, Hey, I'm the Pope. Not here you ain't. Right here you're a sinner. Hey, I'm brother so-and-so. Not here you ain't. I'll tell you right now, buddy, if you ain't in that book of life, right here you're a bunch of sinners getting ready to be served judgment.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what you're going to get, what you deserve right here. They're every man's judge. Every one of them gets a hearing. Every man, according to their works. By the way, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. I'm pretty sure they already knew what it was going. You know what? I'd rather have somebody that knows they're lost and somebody that thinks they're saved me have to convince them otherwise.
Yeah.
That's one thing about preaching. God chose the foolish of preaching to save them which believe.
That's
I've
right.
had a lot of people that had a second opinion. They thought they was good and saved. I stuck my head in the car yesterday, Sharon, four people in that car, and I stuck my head and I see anybody here saved. And you'd be surprised that what proceeded afterwards. There was a girl back in the back. She said, you know, I've been having a lot of trouble. I believe I need to get in church. I need to get saved. Another boy, he said, I go to church. I said, are you saved? He said, I've been baptized. I said, are you saved? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you don't want to. Damn, no, I know I'm saved.
Yeah, right.
And the mother, the wife, she wouldn't even look at me. She's looking down. The father, he's about like her. I'll tell you what, buddy, I just dropped the whole load on him. I told him, y'all need to get in church. I said, if it was me and y'all's condition, I said, I'd go to church tomorrow morning. And I said, if you can't wait, get saved right now or tonight. Don't paddle your head. Take a chance, end up in hell. Because I tell you right now, hell ain't no place for no one but the devil. If you know that to be true, then you know what Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says about hell. That God made it for the devil and his angels. Them hell's angels, that's where they go.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this is why Jesus came into this world. See, whosoever can come and be saved. Whosoever can call upon the name of the Lord. But here's a different bunch of whosoever's here. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire.
That's right.
Buddy, that's a terrible place to be. Why is that, Buddy Eddie? Well, let's go back real quick to Isaiah. You want to look at this?
Yeah.
The last verse of Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
Yeah.
That's that lake of fire. I don't want to be there.
That's right.
I don't want nobody else to be there. I try to warn them. I try to tell them about the love of God. Jesus is trying to break the ice. He said, for judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the wise man Solomon, he says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Verse 13. Verse 14, he says, for God to bring every work into judgment.
Yeah.
Whether it be evil, whether it be good. He said, that's the conclusion of this thing. And Jesus said, hey, I'm coming into this world for judgment. Solomon said, hey, you better hear the conclusion before it comes down on you. You know, God, he don't want nobody to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, I wrote that down here, and it's been a while back, so let me see why I wrote that down here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for these things God will bring thee into judgment. You see, youth, a lot of young people think they're immortal.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of young people die. They die because they don't take no thought about tomorrow. They don't take no thought about eternity. That's what I told that bunch in the car yesterday.
That's right.
I said, none of you got the promise of tomorrow unless you're saved. I said, all of you got the sentence of death on you. You need to get fixed. You know, Lord, He loves sinners. That's why He prayed, Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. But even Stephen, Father, lay not this sin. Oh, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do, but Stephen prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You see, there's a lot of people that care about lost people. The Lord, He don't want people to go to hell. That's why He come down.
Right.
He come down so people could go up. Mm-hmm. He made a new and living way. There wasn't no way before. The way before was crooked as a dog's hind leg. Somehow people thought they could make a heaven apart from God, but when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son. And when His Son came on the scene, when the Son came on the scene, the law and the prophets was with John. John was the last prophet. He stepped aside.
Yeah.
And He said, He must increase, I must decrease. And the law and the prophets weren't until John, the grace and truth, come with Jesus Christ. All the law could do was point you to Him. John saw Him, said, there He is, I'm done. And Jesus came and said, I'm the way. Come to Me, I'm the truth, the life, and the way. You ain't going to make it without Me. He said, for judgment, I've come to this world. The world's still standing in awe, thinking.
Yeah.
You know, somebody went out and looked at the Grand Canyon and said, something big happened there. And he said, go look at Calvary, you'll see where something big happened.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I heard this story one time about a mother that had a son, and her and her father got her. And his father, her husband, got in a big argument. And I mean, son got mad and left. We'll kind of be preaching to him about that prodigal son. And, it went for years. They wasn't a word. I mean, they just really, for lack of better words, they were done with each other. The mother got terminal sick. She's dying. Her husband's right there by her bedside where every husband and every wife ought to be with her loved one. He said, honey, is there anything I can do? She said, yeah, there's something you can do. He said, well, I'll do it. What is it? She said, call my son. I want to see him before I die. And he didn't want to do that. But under those circumstances, you see what I mean? She had the leverage. Mm-hmm. Under those circumstances, he went called. And they got APBs out and they finally found this boy. He said, you need to come quick. Your mother's dying. Under those circumstances, even with his father there, he made an exception. He came. Father's on one side of the bed, son's on the other side of the bed. She's in the middle. And she's about to die. You know what she did? She got the hand of that father, the hand of that son, brought them together and said, be ye reconciled, and died. And all of a sudden they realized just how stupid they'd been.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did.
That's right.
With one hand, He took the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
With the other hand, He took the sinfulness of man and said, be ye reconciled, and gave a new living way. Praise God, through Him now, we've got access to the throne.
Amen.
Through Him now, praise God, we've got a mediator between us and God. It ain't the Pope. Through Him, praise God, we've got access to God for judgment. God put judgment on Jesus. Somebody said, what do you mean He put judgment on Jesus? I'll read it for you. Isaiah 53. I guess I could cherry pick a few of these verses, but I'll tell you what we'll do. Yeah, let's just go ahead and do it. Let's just read down through here. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him.
Right.
He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. By the way, he is acquainted with grief. Somebody said nobody cares. He does.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's acquainted with grief.
Amen.
We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He didn't hide his face from us. He's despised and we esteem him not. But look here, verse 4, where I started to start at. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. See, for judgment, he came to this world. Our judgment come on him.
That's right.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. You see, if He had came down in this world, we'd have no escape goat. We'd have no alibi. We'd have no redemption, no ransom.
That's right.
Paul talked about Christ gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He came down for judgment reasons. He came down that I could be judged guilty and a payment could be made. And He paid in full.
Yeah.
My sin debt, it didn't make a down payment. It's paid in full.
That's
by the blood, by the bruise, by the stripes. I'm healed. All we, that's you and me, like sheep have gone astray. All of us have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, look at that, the iniquity of us all. He bore the brunt of it.
Yeah.
For judgment he came into the world. God laid it on him. He took it to the cross and nailed it to the cross.
Yeah.
Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. There's some people dumb enough. I don't know how much y'all stay in touch with churches or not. But there's some churches so out of touch with God. They took all the songs out of song books about the blood.
Yes, they have.
You know what they did? Anybody know what they did? They call it a slaughterhouse religion. Y'all know that? He's led as a lamb to the what?
Yeah.
It was a slaughter.
That's right.
Yeah, I thank God for those songs about the blood.
Me too.
But it took blood to cleanse me. The Bible said the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I was sinful. I was dirty. I was down. I'll tell you what, the blood got me out of the problem I had. Got me, I'm telling you, buddy, cleaned up. But listen, he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. It is a slaughterhouse religion.
Mm-hmm.
They need to read some more Bible, amen.
That's right.
Amen, Carolyn. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He could have. He could open his mouth and call upon more than 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He's taken from prison. And from judgment, see, he said, for judgment I'm coming to this world. He had to stand before Herod's judgment. He had to stand before Pilate's judgment. He had to stand before the Sanhedrin. And they all judged him guilty. They couldn't name it, but they said he's guilty. And they took him and crucified him. Through man's judgment, he was actually innocent in the eyes of God. Who shall, you know the Mormons, y'all know there's a church that believes that Jesus has children on this world. Does anybody know that? Y'all know that?
What was the question?
There's a church that believes that Jesus has children on this world.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that verse right there? Who shall declare his generation?
Yeah.
He didn't have no children of Mary Magdalene.
No.
He didn't have none. Uh-huh. Now there's a lot of people dumb enough to promote that, but all they got to do is read a little Bible. He's cut off. There's no children. He ain't got no children of Mary Magdalene. They think somehow they were the holy underwear, and somehow they're the God makers. They think somehow, you know, they got a, you know, other sheep I have. They try to use that scripture there, John chapter 4. Other sheep I have, they're not of this fold here. You know, they try to somehow, you know, muddy that up a little bit.
Yeah.
All they got to do is read that right there.
Yeah, that's right.
You see that? He ain't got no children.
Mm-hmm.
He's cut off. Now don't get me wrong, I'm a son of God thanks to Him.
Yeah.
I'm in the family of God thanks to Him. I'm in a multitude, no man can number of every kindred, tongue, and nation going to go to heaven because of Him. But they're spiritually born, not physical children. That's what I'm trying to get across here. You need to remember that. Who should declare his generation? Them Mormons think somehow, you know, they're from that Mary Magdalene relationship there. Oh my. Do you remember them Pharisees trying to insult Jesus there in John chapter 8. We be not born of fornication. There's a lot of things you need to research out. But anyway, he's cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. I'm going to stop right there. Y'all missed it. I mean, I'm trying to teach this. And it ended up breaking forth into preaching. And I ain't got no, I'm not making no excuse for it. I kind of enjoyed a little bit myself, I have to admit.
Yeah,
I got on here in a Sunday school lesson this morning here. We'll stop it right there. It must be because it's Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know.